We're going to pray and then I'll share what it is. Father, I just thank you so much that you have moved this message in my heart from a work to a fruit, from something that I was demanded to do to something that you want to provide for us. I just thank you so much, God, that you care so much about our hearts, that you don't want us hurting in any way, shape, or form. I thank you that you are the one that is persuading our hearts that we don't need to worry, that we can have your life in such a powerful way, in your persuasion, in your faith, so that worry will melt away from us. Thank you, God, that it's what you're doing for us and what you want to continue to do. Amen. So just think about the title of that message for a second. Worry-free living. I mean, tell you the truth, I can't even imagine it without God's help, because that's what happened. I woke up maybe a month or two ago, and that's what God gave me, worry-free living. And I just thought, what an unusual concept. Nothing I've ever experienced before. And then after that, I felt it. It's like this huge relief came over me, a relief like I had never felt before. And so for about 10 minutes, I felt no worry. Wow. Not worried about the past, not worried about today, and not worried about tomorrow. Just not worried about anything. And it was so wonderful. I felt so free. It's like my heart, I didn't know my heart was so bound up until it got free. But when it was free, I realized how bound up it had been. And then as that day went on, and the next day, and the next day, I could feel my heart starting to get bound up again. And I could feel those worries pressing in. Because that's what the world does. It comes in and it presses in on us. Now, I've been free from worry in areas of my life, here and there, and especially since I've been coming to this church, I've gotten free in areas. But this was, God just let me taste freedom in every area for a little while. So this sermon is not a how to stop worrying message. Have you ever tried to stop worrying? Really, have you? You know, a few weeks ago, I had a very sleepless night, because I couldn't stop worrying about something. You know what I mean? It's like you want to go to sleep, your body's tired, but your mind won't stop working on something. It's like it's on a hamster wheel, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going. Y'all are all looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, and I know that can't be true. I tried to stop worrying all night, and I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. The reason is that human was not created to have the ability to stop worrying. In fact, we weren't created to experience worry. It's not our design. So it's no wonder that we have a fit when we encounter those things that we were never designed to encounter. So this one night, I was trying to stop worrying. And I mean, I was having a fit. I'm not talking about the kind of fit when you go to the store and you put on a shirt and it's just a perfect fit. That's not the kind of fit I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the fit where you buy a piece of furniture and it just fits right in that place and it looks like it was made for that place. No, the kind of fit I'm talking about is a fit. You know, go mad, explode, blow up, lose it, see red, throw a tantrum, fly off the handle, blow your top, flip your lid. That's the kind of fit I'm talking about. Now, this happened to me in the middle of the night, so I couldn't let a little sound come out of my mouth because I didn't want to wake up anybody. So this fit was happening on the inside of me, and it felt like all the cells in my body were exploding from overload, but I had no way to get it out. I was trying so hard to stop worrying. I said all the things to myself, you know, I will not let my heart be troubled, you know, have no worries, whatever, whatever, whatever. Give your cares to God. I mean, I was trying so hard and just trying to let it go. But this is what now you know what the cells in my body felt like. Aren't you glad? You're great, Cindy. Now you know. Now you know how I felt on the inside. And you know, I used to think that God didn't want us to worry. And I'll touch on those scriptures later. God didn't want us to worry because it was a commandment and you weren't supposed to worry. But that's not why God wants to set us free from worry. God can't stand us to hurt. Do you know how you feel when your child or your pet comes to you and they may be just have a thorn in their paw or their finger and they're so fretting about it? And you so want to help them, and you can't stand it that they're hurting. That's how God feels about us. That's why he wants to set us free from worry. It's not that he wants us to have grown our faith so strong that we wouldn't worry anymore. It's a work that he wants to do for us. So this isn't a word to put guilt on us because we worry. That would be worrying about worrying. And I've done that too, and I bet you all have also. Anybody that was in any kind of a doctrine that said that anything that isn't you believing or being in any fear was a sin. And so you felt like God was displeased with you or unhappy with you when you worried. That makes it even worse, doesn't it? It's like, how do I get free from this thing? I want to be free from this thing. I can't get free from this thing. And now God's not pleased with me because I'm doing this thing that I don't want to do, that I'm trying to quit doing, but I can't. And it goes on and on and on. It's not like we just lived that one day of our Christian lives. It could go on for years. I know. I experienced it. It went on for years. And to try to, I'm not going to pop anything, Cindy. Just one jolt a day. When we think that we're supposed to stop worrying in our own strength ourselves, it's like taking this towel and expecting it to print a document for me. Would I ever expect that? Of course not. It's absurd to expect that. The towel was never created or designed to do that. In the same way, we were never created and designed to face worry, to deal with worry, or to overcome worry. Isn't that good to know? Our good, good Father wants to take care of that for us. I think we all know from experience that worry doesn't make anything better. It's never solved one problem. It's never made it easier to go through the problem. All it does is make things worse. So why do we worry? It's not something we try to do, is it? It just happens effortlessly. We can't help it. It's an automatic response that we feel when we have the fear of lack. It just happens. It's a fruit of death. Worry is connected to the lie of lack. We either think we lack something in the past, we're lacking something right now. We even worry that we're going to lack something in the future that we don't lack right now. I mean, come on. You know, this thing just kind of takes its own life and goes all over the place. But the life that it takes is death. It isn't the good life. So exactly, what is worry? Worry is a carnal reaction humans have when the world presses in on us and our hearts have not yet been persuaded that God's life has overcome that thing. It is a response. I can try. Worry is a carnal reaction that we have when the world presses in on us. It's effortless, and it happens when our hearts are not persuaded yet that God has conquered that area of our life. We don't believe yet that he's conquered that situation for us. And so we experience lack, or it could be a fear of lack, and worry comes. It comes when we think that we get our life from this world instead of from God. Worrying is carnal. Now, that's really good news. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. So that means that it does not come from God. God does not have worry. He doesn't bring worry to us. He doesn't want us to worry. So that's a really good thing. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures that you've probably already read. And maybe like me, you've quoted them. You've written them down. You've said them over and over and over and over again. You fasted and said them over and over and over and over and over again. You wrote them on your walls and said them over and over and over and over again. But something was missing. And it's that we were trying to do it for ourselves. So this is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I spent years quoting that scripture, repeating it, confessing it over and over and over again. But my best efforts failed. Faking it never brings peace on the outside. The people around you might think you're not worried, but your cells inside, they know. They know what's going on. They feel like they're exploding. So we're going to look at this verse, and we're going to take the do out of it. But as Paul called it, we're going to take the do-do out of it, so that we can see what God is saying in these scriptures and what he wants to do for us. First, we're going to look at that, the words, be careful. The word careful means to be anxious about, to worry, to have a care, take thought. The idea of distraction, attentive care and protectiveness, an attitude of earnest concern or attention, a cause to be to care or to be concerned. And then the word nothing means nothing. So how does that scripture make you feel when you think that you're supposed to do that? You aren't supposed to worry about anything. And I can remember them, oh, they taught it really well. They said, be careful for nothing. Where's the verb? I mean, where's the subject? It isn't there. It's understood that it means you. You be careful for nothing. And they put the work to not worry about anything on the human heart. When God didn't design the human heart to be able to carry that weight or to pull that off. So what are these verses saying? Are we the keeper of our worries? Do we have the responsibility to keep our feelings in check? Are we responsible for renewing our minds so we'll stop worrying? Are we to muster up enough faith so we can stop worrying? That's not what those verses mean. I don't know about you, but being told that I'm supposed to stop being worried causes me to worry more. Because I know I can't do it, and I can just feel that heaviness coming on me because I know I've tried for years. And you know, it's not just big stuff we worry about. It can be little bitty stuff too. The night that I was having that fit and worried all night that I talked about, I don't even remember what I was worried about. It wasn't a big deal. It isn't a big deal now, but it wasn't a big deal that night either. It was a little something, yet it worked on me like a thorn will work when we've got a thorn in our finger. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So it's Jesus' peace that's given to us. It's Jesus that gives us his peace. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. It's his work, not ours. But then again, it starts acting like, and right in the middle, when you're starting to feel some relief, you see, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Well, come on, there it is, right back. First you feel relief and then, ugh, there comes that weight again. I don't know if you all experienced that, but when I read the Bible for years, I would be so happy 1 minute, and then 3 minutes later, I'd be very sad. And I could get really close to God 1 minute, and then I was drawing away in guilt and shame. It was really very sad, because God's word is to always draw us to him freely. But when we read scriptures and we think they're ours to perform and that the weight and the burden is on us to bring it to pass, it will not set us free. What it does is it brings more fear and shame on us, which draws us away from God. Have you ever tried to not let your heart not be troubled? I can remember for years when our kids were teenagers, every night I went to bed, I will not let my heart be troubled. I will not let my heart be troubled. I will not let my heart be troubled. But my heart was troubled until every one of them were back in their beds. It was, for years. It didn't help me to try to do it in my own strength. All it did was give me a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of guilt, and a lot of shame. And I thought God was so unhappy with me all those years. It's called getting weary and heavy laden, is how Jesus describes it in Matthew 11. When we read that verse according to the letter and not according to the spirit, it appears like it's a commandment. But this is not a commandment. It is a description of what it looks like when God's peace is given to us by Jesus and manifests in us. Our hearts will not be troubled. We will not be worried. And we will not be afraid after our hearts have been persuaded by his faith. Not what we do, by his faith. It's God who persuades our hearts to stop worrying. Not our much quoting, not our declaring, not our denying, not commanding it into existence. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." He didn't say, quote the scriptures until you feel better. He didn't say to try harder until your faith works. No, he said to come to him. Let my faith persuade your heart until you have peace. And I have found that sometimes God will speak to me and I still don't have peace. And then he'll speak again and he'll speak again. And the truth he gives me is just more and more and more until my heart's set free. Because sometimes we're worried about one thing, but we're worried about that one thing for five different reasons. And lots of times we're not even aware of that, but God is. He knows every reason that we're worried. And so he will come and he will speak to those things in such a wonderful way. I know last night I got to pray with a young man, and he had someone that he loved very dearly in his family that was killed. And he was so upset. He was so tormented and unconsolable. And I just asked God to show him what God wanted him to know. And God told him, your grandma's free. And he showed him a picture of his grandma dancing with Jesus. Now, I couldn't have done that. Nobody could have done that. Only God can do those kind of things. And that young man was able to walk out in peace. That's what God wants to do for us. Whether it's the little bitty worry or a great big huge thing like what that guy was experiencing, God wants to set us free. When we are worrying, it makes us weary and heavy laden. You can't rest when you're worried. So Jesus is saying that he's the answer to our worry. Just him. Come to me. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Don't try to do all these things. Just come to me, and I'm going to persuade you with my truth. When the faith of the Son of God comes to our hearts, it swallows up the death that we feel in our hearts. Whether it's worry, fear, anxiety, sadness, it comes and it swallows it up. The work is God's, not ours. You cannot and I cannot stop worrying in our own strength. God uses truth and his faith to set us free. What God has done over the last month is he's shown me some of the areas that he's setting us free from worrying. This isn't a new thing. God's just saying, this is what I am already doing in your hearts. I am setting you free. And as we go through a few of these topics, you're going to realize God surely has been at work in your heart. And oh my gosh, I haven't worried about that for 3 years since I heard the truth about that. Okay? Some of the things I'm not going to talk about. We worry about so many things. I mean, I would be here all week if I covered everything. And we would still just all be worried. So God just wants you to hear the message, to know he's busy at work in your hearts and he's taking care of it so you can relax and have peace in that. So one of the areas that God removes worry from us is about our salvation and our Christian walk. Now this is probably the one that we've experienced healing and truth in. But do you remember when you were afraid of losing your salvation? Do you remember when you did something wrong and you thought God had walked away from you because of it? And until you were really sorry you had done it and you confessed it, God was on the sidelines? Do you remember worrying about backsliding? It used to be a common thing taught. At what point have you backslidden? How do you determine that? Depending on the church you went to, if you said a word that they said you shouldn't say, you were backsliding. In some places, if you had a drink, you were backsliding. In some churches, you were backsliding 20 and 30 times a day and having to confess and repent and have God reinstate you into the fold. Moonwalking is a good picture of that. Now we know that we're not responsible for our Christian behavior, but we used to be taught that we were. But we're not responsible for the quality of it or the lack of it. Doesn't that feel good? We haven't, probably most of us, felt that for a little bit. Or at least we don't feel it all the time now, like it used to be. That isn't because you're a better Christian. It's because God is persuading your hearts that it's not your work, that He's doing that for you. You don't have to look at all of your actions and judge them and see how you're performing. You don't have to struggle anymore to become a mature Christian. Do you remember that one? Every time in January, right at the beginning of the year, you had to look back over the last year and see if you had grown in your Christian maturity or not. Oh, what a bummer. And even the years where you thought you were doing better, all it did was make us more arrogant. It didn't accomplish anything good because we were still in that mindset that it was what we were doing instead of what God was doing in us. So we don't have to measure our maturity or the fruit we see in our lives or the fruit we don't see in our lives. We're beginning, and some of us, it might happen to us often by now, we're not thinking that God is ashamed of us or disappointed in us when we make what we call a mistake. That's a big deal, y'all. Christians used to live like that all the time. It was our Christian walk. And God has been methodically just removing lie after lie after lie so we wouldn't experience that anymore. We all knew the scripture, but because we read it under the law and not according to the Spirit, it still put us under performance. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so we got that sort of good. We knew we got saved by grace and faith. We did believe that. But then, the week after we got saved, we kicked into gear and started doing what we needed to be doing to live the godly Christian life. But this is what this scripture says. For we are His workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I was taught that the good works was being a good Christian girl and obeying the Ten Commandments. That was the good works, and the pressure was on me to do it. So that's how I read that scripture. Yes, He got me into heaven in His strength, but now I gotta stay on the track to heaven by my strength. That's a horrible way to walk it, and I know most of us have done that. But faith came to do a work in us. That faith that came to us at the point of our salvation, it doesn't go away. It stays. And it stays with us to persuade our hearts to walk the rest of our Christian life in exactly the same way that we first experienced salvation, which is by grace, saved through God's faith, and it's not of ourselves. So that's what we should be experiencing from the point of our salvation until we see Jesus face to face. Worry is like second nature for some of us. Now, I would have always said it was first nature, but God said, God said, that's not true. It isn't first nature to us. Our true nature was never designed to worry or to experience death in any form. Our true nature is at peace resting in God and His faith. It's actually the design of our true nature to be at peace, free from worry. We were never created to experience worry. We were designed to experience carefree, worry-free living. That is God's life. That is His life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now, this scripture actually describes the problem of all mankind and its solution. But if you read it like most of us read it for many years, it becomes a work. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And I don't know about you all, but I thought those sins were not obeying the Ten Commandments, losing my temper, being unkind to somebody, not wanting to pray, not wanting to fast, not wanting to read my Bible. Heathen that I was. Is that what God was thinking? No. But I was afraid because I was sure I was backsliding. I would go to Larry. He must have gotten so tired of it. Such a patient man God's given me. I would go to him week after week. "What's wrong with me? I don't want to pray. What is wrong with me? I used to love to get up in the morning and pray." Well, sure I did, till somebody came and told me I needed to get up and I needed to get on my knees for 1 hour and pray like this. That's when I quit enjoying my time with God. When somebody took it and they put it in this tight little box that I couldn't perform. It had to be at a certain time of day. Duh. It had to be in a certain way. Even the words that I was supposed to pray, I couldn't pray unless it was in faith. How do you bring your problems to God if you only can pray in faith? So I thought I was backsliding. And then I found out that the sin which so easily besets us is just that we move out of God's belief system and into the serpent's belief system. We move out of letting God do it for us, God giving us his life, into thinking we have to get God's life in our own strength. That's the sin that so easily besets us. That's it. It's not about our actions. It's about what we're believing. Are we believing God wants to do it? Or are we believing we got to do it? So that sin that so easily besets us, the toiling, the work of our own hands, trying to produce God's life in our own effort. God showed me part of that toiling is worrying. And its solution is Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the answer to the sin that so easily besets us. It's God's faith. The faith of the Son of God that comes to us and tells us, "I have done it all for you. You can rest in me. You can trust in me. And I will continue to speak that to you until you can believe it." And God says, "That's on me, not on you." So, we were never supposed to try to stop worrying. We were never supposed to take this scripture in Philippians 4 and work it. But that's what many of us did. But I found out through a lot of truth preaching and a lot of God persuading my heart that it's God's privilege and honor to do this for us. He wants to do this for us. And I'm going to give you a funny little picture in your mind to help you remember how absurd it is when we try to clean up ourselves. Here's the picture. There's a 4-month-old baby laying in bed, and he's laying in a soiled diaper. But he decides he's not going to cry and ask for help. He's going to try to change it himself. And he's going to try to clean himself up. How do you think that's going to work? The baby has no ability to do that. The baby is going to make a very big mess out of something that was easier to clean up if he would have just called out and known, this isn't for me to do. I have a good daddy that's going to come in and take care of me. He's going to do it all for me. All I have to do is lay here and rest. What an amazing thing. And what an absurdity to think of a four-month-old baby doing that. That baby wasn't designed to do that any more than we're designed to bear God's fruit. And I want to change something I said just so nobody will misunderstand it. It isn't that we're being cleaned up. We're not dirty. We are already clean because of the word that God has spoken to us and because of who we are. All it is are we bearing God's fruit or not? Okay? We are clean. You are clean. You're perfect. Do you remember worrying about your faith? How much faith you had? How strong it was? I remember worrying because I couldn't trust God the way I wanted to. I would come out on the tail end of a trial and I would go, man, I'm never going to mistrust God again. He is so good. He always sees me through one way or another. And then here would come another trial and doggone it, I was right back. Fear, worry, not trusting God. Over and over and over again. The burden was so heavy and I tried so hard. I prayed, I fasted, I read the Bible. I quoted those scriptures. But the thing that I was missing is that I was living in the serpent's belief system. And I was thinking that I was the one that had to trust God in my own strength. That's what was wrong. God never designed me to be the author and finisher of my faith. God never designed you to be the author and finisher of your faith. God never designed you to live by your faith. He's given you his faith as a free gift. And it's always there. He's always there talking to you, persuading your heart that it's him. He will do it in you and for you. Another area that God removes worrying from us, that he's working on doing that, is about the future. Matthew 6:34 in the Amplified Version says, so do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. Now I want you to just stop and think about that for a second. Whoa. Not worried about anything after today. That takes a few thousand pounds off of us, doesn't it? Just not worried about it. Not concerned about it. Can you imagine that? Oh, God imagines it. God imagines it for us. It's the life that he has for us. No analyzing, no fretting, no anticipating possible future problems. Don't we do that? They don't even have to be real yet. We are just thinking about what might be coming so we can take care of that. Ah, what a rat race. I used to think when I was worried that God was upset and disappointed in me. And I think that's the most wonderful thing that I found out in this last month, that that's not true. That's a lie that I was taught. God knows that you weren't created to experience the fruit of death. He knows you weren't created to experience things that come at you and try to get you to worry. He wants to set you free. He's concerned, not worried. He's concerned for you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to worry. That's why he wants to set you free. It's not because he's saying you're not a good enough Christian or you haven't grown enough or get your act together. No, he adores you. He doesn't want you to hurt in any way. He doesn't stand on the outside of our darkness and call us out. He steps into our darkness with us. He holds our hand. He comforts us, and he speaks truth to us until we can take his hand and he leads us out. He doesn't stop doing that until we're free. Ongoing, day and night. Nothing can happen to us in this world, in the future, that has the power to give us God's life. So it has no power to take God's life from us. I'm going to say that again. Nothing that can happen to us in this world, in the future, has the power to give us God's life. So it also has no power to take God's life from us. I'm going to share a time when Larry and I were worrying about the future a lot. We had paid flood insurance on our house for many years. And then when we refinanced our house, we were advised to cancel our flood insurance because we were paying this money and we weren't even in a flood zone. It had never flooded. So we dropped that flood insurance, and then a few years later, Katrina hit, and our house got 4 feet of water. No flood insurance. We were beyond worried. How were we going to be able to rebuild, and with what? It felt like the pressure of the world was on our shoulders, and we didn't have any answers, and we were worried about the future. Would we ever be able to get back into our house? Larry went to God over and over and over again. One of the times God spoke to him and said, "I am your flood insurance." Whoa. Boom. I am that I am. I got this. You can stop worrying. Boy, he came to me so lighthearted. God said he's going to be our flood insurance. And we rejoiced and we were so excited until a couple of days later and we started going, how's he going to do that? You know, the insurance company gives you money so you can rebuild. How is God going to do that? So every time we would get fearful, we would go back again. God doesn't mind that, y'all. We can go back to him over and over and over again. That's what he wants. He's happy when his children come to him and say, "Help." So every time worry would come back on us, we'd go back to him. And you know what he'd say? The same thing. "I am your flood insurance." And we couldn't begin to tell you how God did it, because he did it in so many ways. So many unexpected ways, but our house got put back together again. And you know, when God does something, he does it good. When our house was finished, it was in better shape than before Katrina. We never know what he's going to do. I'm not saying the answer always comes in tangible, worldly things. That time it did. Sometimes there's just so much peace in your heart that you don't care about the situation anymore. It doesn't really matter. But the point is God will come in. Bring your future to him. The things that you see yourself worried about, you know, it can get pretty absurd. I know it's not the right time of year, but I'm going to say it anyway. Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up, and I'm really worried about how much weight I'm going to gain. It gets... You know, we can worry about everything and anything. You know, I'm worried what somebody thinks of me. I'm worried if this looks nice on me. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And it's all future things. What if somebody sees this and judges me for this? But God has our future in his hands. And he says our outcome is divine. Our outcome is divine. God extinguishes our worry about the future by reminding us that he is our provision in all circumstances. He persuades our hearts that he will take care of us and provide his life for us, no matter what we are encountering on this earth. Another area that God showed me that he's setting us free from worrying about is our family. That can be a really heavy one. I had a horrible experience this last week, and I know I'm not the only one, but I had a granddaughter, and keep in mind, I'm drilling this sermon and pulling from God everything he has on not worrying, and I am worrying something fierce because it looked like one of my granddaughters had a brain aneurysm. The symptoms were there, sudden onset, severe headache, feeling like she was going to pass out, dizziness, trouble walking. Took her to the doctor, and she says, we need to do a CT scan right now. This is an emergency. Oh, you know, and I'm thinking, worried isn't even the word for it. I was petrified. But I went to God, and I went to God, and I went to God through it. And you know, she had a virus. She had a virus. But I spent 24 hours petrified that maybe the future was going to show that she had a brain aneurysm. And you know, as people, lots of times we tend to think the worst thing instead of the least. You know, God's got our families, the people that are nearest and dearest to us. He loves them more than we do. And the truth is, we can't fix their problems. We can try. We can try real hard. We can try so hard that we're almost dying ourselves. But it won't fix it. We can worry about grades, their health, friend problems, drugs, self-esteem, their happiness, school, fears, their rejections. On and on and on it goes. We try to solve their problems when most of the time we don't even know what their problems are. In fact, many times they don't know what their problems are. There are lies in their heart, and many times they don't know what they are. So the good news is, you can't fix anyone. You can't even fix yourself. And God's not asking you to either. It isn't our job to fix anybody. You are not the Savior. I had my sweet little granddaughter, the one that we thought had the brain aneurysm. I don't know if you could see this, but I asked her to paint this for me. It says, I am not the Savior. And I actually need one of these for every room in my house. Because I just have this natural inclination to save everybody from everything. You know, and I wonder sometimes, in fact, I'm sure of it, but I'm not going to spend any time analyzing, I can promise you. I'm just making the statement. I'm sure by trying to help save everybody, I cause more problems. That's in the past, and that's later in the sermon, and I'm not worrying about it. So we don't have to be a Savior. The good news is they do have a Savior. They do have a Savior. And God is with them 24/7. We tried to be with our kids 24/7. It didn't work out too good. Not good at all. But God can be with them 24/7, and it doesn't tax him at all. He's perfectly natural for it. He never gives up. Oh, have you ever just gotten so frustrated and you just felt like giving up? God never feels like that. He never feels like that. God loves our loved ones more than we do. He's the only one that knows what's going on in their hearts, and he's the only one that can heal them. So when those fears come and you begin worrying and your loved ones, the pressure starts pushing in on you about them, go to God. Let him persuade your heart that he's there. Let him give you his perspective. Let him put in your heart what he sees and what's going on. We can't see that unless God is showing us. And I believe he's always showing us. It's just that we need to become more and more persuaded to hear it easier and easier. When we see a person in our family hurting, it's very easy to get caught up in solving their problems. And we can try many different ways. We can exhaust all the ways and still never touch on what God knows needs to be done. Larry and I tried everything we knew to do to help our children through their teenage years. About the only thing we didn't do was what everybody was telling us to do, which was to kick them out. Tough love. But God had persuaded our hearts of what tough love was from the perspective that we needed, and that was to keep them near and dear to us. To let them know it didn't matter what they did. They were loved and accepted. We didn't even know grace then. We didn't know what that was. We thought it was a prayer before meals. But there was God persuading our hearts, speaking into our hearts. Never told us the word, but he put his grace in our hearts. And he said, let me show you what I see when I see your children. Whoa, it was awesome. It was awesome. So he gave us a new thing to look at. He gave us the tree of life to look at them through instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, when you're looking through the wrong tree, everything looks bad. Everything. God got us to the point where we didn't worry about our kids anymore. Even before any circumstances changed. It was a powerful work that God did. And I'm not saying it happened overnight. It didn't. He had to persuade our hearts over and over and over again. But he was faithful and he did it. And he loved doing it. He loved setting us free. So another area that God is freeing us from, worrying about, is the salvation of others. Have you ever lived under the weight of being responsible for other people's salvation? How many doors have you knocked on this past week? Do you share Jesus everywhere you go? What about the grocery store, the library? You can whisper, you know. Where's your witness? I mean, that's your purpose. Wow, what a heavy weight. And I'm not sure who mentioned it, but in one of the Bible studies, he talked about being told, you're the only Jesus that some people will see. Oh my gosh, what a horrible thing to tell somebody. I can remember when our kids were teenagers, I thought this was God because I was in the works. You know, the devil comes as an angel of light, and he'll tell you to do all kind of things. He told me to pray for every kid that walked in our door, every time they walked through our door. I still can't even believe that I thought that was God right now. Those kids were in and out every 10 minutes smoking, drinking, whatever else they wanted to do out there before they came back in to play a little more pool to go back out again. And I can remember if I'd go in another part of the house, I would feel so guilty because who knows how many kids came in and out during that 15 or 20 minutes, and I didn't pray for them. Oh, a horrible way to live. Just horrible. Salvation comes to other people by faith, not our faith, God's faith. And here's another one, God setting our hearts free from. What about those that don't ever hear the gospel? Boy, that tormented me for a long time. I wanted to be a missionary, even though I hate to travel. But I wanted to be a missionary because I had that weight on me. I didn't want to get up to heaven and have anybody's blood on my hands and say, because I was selfish and I didn't want to travel somewhere, that those people weren't with God now. That's a horrible thing. And you know, the worst part of it is, what is it saying about God to our hearts? Think about it. God loves the people where the gospel is preached to them more than he loves the people that aren't going to get a chance to hear it like others do. Man, how do you trust a guy like that? You can't feel good about him. And yet, because it was what was taught, many of us received it. I did. And I didn't know it was hurting my heart. I didn't know it was hurting my relationship with God. My heart wasn't even aware of it, but you know what? It was. And it was hurting it really bad. I thought I loved people more than God. Because I wouldn't have set it up like that. God talks to everybody. And he's got all kinds of ways of doing it. He doesn't wait till people are saved. How do you think people get saved? He's drawing them to himself. He doesn't wait till they're saved and say, well, now I can have a relationship with them. He can have a much freer relationship. But let me tell you, God is going after every person. The moment, I'm going to say conceived. Not that I know that, but I believe it. I believe God loves us just as much at that the point of conception as the point of birth. It says that we were in him before he created the world. So he's going after us. When I was 10 years old, I heard God talk to me. That was when I hated him. And I heard him talking to me. I didn't love him after that, but he freed me from something terrible. So we can trust that God loves everybody in the world. And he's making sure that in one way or another, they are hearing about him. And they are hearing what they need to know. It says in Romans that everyone is drawn to God. And that nobody's going to be without excuse. Nobody's going to say, God never drew me. That's not going to happen because it just isn't true. And God has ways of getting people's attention that are far beyond what we can do. It's God who draws people to himself. It's not our job to worry about them. Is it really neat when you get to be a little part of that? Oh, man, it is. That lights my fire. I love to share Jesus with people, but I'm not burdened to do it. It's not a work anymore. It's as it floods up out of me to do it. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. And that's okay. Okay, another area God is freeing us from worrying about is analyzing ourselves and our circumstances to find out why something went wrong in our life. Whoa! That's a form of worry, and it's a torment, and it doesn't come from God. The carnal mind is always looking for answers, seeking doctrines to answer the questions in our minds. The problem is we don't always seek God to get those answers. We just come up with many crazy beliefs. And it's because often it's the carnal mind that's seeking those answers, and the carnal mind isn't going to hear from God. Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People has been a bestseller book for years. Because people want the answers. The carnal mind loves to figure and analyze everything out. And they come up with lots of reasons. You know them. Oh, I'm getting so spiritual that the devil is attacking me. Oh, I'm getting ready to do this for God, and so the devil is attacking me. I didn't fast. I didn't obey. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't do something enough. All kinds of things. Lots more. I don't have time to mention them all. But could we ever just say, gee, maybe it's just because we live in a fallen world? No, that's too simple. We got to find it, you know, dig deeper, you know. Surely it's something that I've done or my parents have done or somebody has done. And that worrying and torment just brings us more and more problems. It doesn't fix our situation. Not once. We see an example of this analyzing in John chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus' disciples went to him and asked him, saying, Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Don't we find ourselves in that place sometimes? Why did this happen to me? And you go in your past and you start looking. What did I do wrong? What did I do? Greg has a saying, and I love it. And at first, it just really grated on me because my carnal mind wanted better answers. But he would say, it is what it is. And I'd go, no, no, that isn't enough. But you know, it is what it is, and we don't have to know everything. We can let God persuade our hearts that he can give us peace in that thing, and we have his life no matter what's going on, and that's all we need to know. Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, don't go on a witch hunt. Don't try to lay blame. Quit focusing on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Focus on me and what I do. This scripture is not saying that God causes bad things, such as this man's blindness, so he can later show how good he is by healing him. I've heard many people teach that. God isn't schizophrenic. He doesn't spend some time in death and then some time in life. God never causes bad things to happen. Whatever it is, instead of trying to analyze the problem, and we usually don't have a clue, and trying to fix it, only God can do that, we can just give the situation to God. Give it to God. I know for years I asked God, what did we do wrong raising our kids? When we were raising them, we thought we did everything right. You know, they were wonderful little kids loving Jesus, you know. I mean, it was great because I had grown up hating Jesus all my life as a kid. So I've got these five awesome little kids, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time, singing Jesus songs. It was great. And then something began to happen. And as they were teenagers, I started crying out to God, and I said, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? And as it progressed and they were moving out, I started crying out to God, what did we do right? Did we do anything right? Did we do even one thing right? I mean, how does that happen? God did not answer me. I cried out to him for years. It was a horrible torment. And maybe 2 years ago, God says, you know, you brought your kids up in me, and that was so wonderful. But you thought that my belief system was the Ten Commandments and obeying me. And that's what your family was raised in the serpent's belief system. And he said, that's what was wrong. Not me. Not laying blame on myself, which what I was trying to do, I was either trying to justify myself or blame myself. God said, it was the wrong tree. I laughed so hard. It was a belly laugh. Wow. All those years tormenting myself, analyzing my actions, my behaviors, all that was still on the wrong tree. And so God says, hey, you're in the right tree now. You're eating from my life. Don't worry about it. It's okay. See how easy it becomes. It becomes so easy. I think this might become another sermon later. God's wisdom does not lay blame on people. And that's what I was trying to do. Actually, I'll get real honest. I wanted to know who had done what wrong. What had my husband done wrong and I had done right? What had I done wrong and he had done right? Laying blame, trying to solve a problem that was already in the past. It was over. It was done with. I was still not satisfied because I was eating from that wrong tree still. So God wants to set us free from the worry of why did this happen? Did I do something wrong? What did I do wrong? It wasn't what we did wrong. It was the wrong belief system. That's what God looks at. So let God take you off the hook. He never put you there in the first place. The belief system is our enemy, not people. There's nobody to blame. Not even yourself, just the belief system. Take a deep breath. God is freeing you and bringing you out of the darkness of worry. He's busy bringing us all to a place of rest. God takes anything and everything, even mistakes, and he works them for our good. He doesn't want us worrying about anything. So if you think you've made mistakes, and they spend some time tormenting you, ask God to show you how he wants to get you off that hook, because he doesn't want you there. He doesn't want you there. He's greater. He's bigger. And he can do more with our mistakes than we could ever, ever, ever imagine. So the way God set us free from that wrong belief system that we were in. My husband's motioning to me. I thought he wanted me to be taller. Okay, I got it. The way God set us free from the belief system that we were in with our children, he showed us we were in the wrong belief system. He had us take our eyes off of the problems. He had us take our eyes off of behaviors. And he showed us what he saw. He showed us our children, and we wept. But he had such a neat way of doing it. You know, God persuades our hearts. Sometimes a person will speak a word, and bam, it happens right then. Other times, we need to be persuaded over a length of time. So God had us plant a garden. We're trying to keep our kids alive, sleeping in the doorway so they don't sneak out. And God tells us to go plant a garden. What kind of sense does that make? 5 different flowers, 1 for each child. He told us who was each flower. And he said, I want you to go out there and I want you to look at that. And I want you to get real comfortable seeing your kids gorgeous, awesome, wonderful. And he says, I'm going to show you what I see when I see them. And he showed us himself, is what he showed us. He showed us that our kids were perfect and complete and just like him. The only problem was the wrong belief system. And as soon as we got in God's belief system, there was full peace. And we enjoyed that garden so much. And then we got to the place where we could enjoy our family in peace. Because you know, when you're worried, you can't really enjoy your family like you'd like to, because worry's in the way. So God removed all of that for us. God's perspective will always set us free from worry. Isn't that nice to know? What God sees and how he sees things will always set us free from worry. I'm going to end with this, because I think it's one of the worries that God really spoke to me about. We think we've made mistakes, and we think that our loved ones are paying for it. Your past mistakes can't keep God's life from you. Can't keep God's life from your children. Can't keep God's life from your parents. Can't keep God's life from anybody in your family. God's life is bigger than any mistake. In fact, God can do amazingly wonderful things with what we call mistakes. I'm not going to promote this activity at all, but I met my husband when I was 15 years old, disobeying my parents. My husband met me when he was 19 years old, disobeying his parents. God took two things that in our eyes we were doing very wrong, and he put us together. And had we not met that day, I'm not sure how God would have arranged it, because Larry lived in St. Louis and I lived in Metairie. Yet we both went someplace that we surely were not supposed to be, and we met. So when mistakes, past mistakes, kind of trying to come in and press on you, take it to God immediately. Let him persuade your hearts. He can take care of that. In fact, he already has. It has no effect. God is already persuading your hearts that you don't have anything to worry about. He's been doing it for a while, methodically, one area after another. Some areas you can say, wow, I could see he's really done a lot. Others you might say, well, I still worry a lot there. It doesn't matter. It's not for you to look at. It's not for you to analyze. It's not for you to judge yourself. God's at work, and he's taking care of it. He loves you so much. And his goal is that you would never hurt or suffer in any way, because he loves you so much. Father, I thank you that you are busy setting us free from worry, and you do it by persuading our hearts with your faith. We thank you that salvation is your work and not ours. We thank you for giving us your life and persuading our hearts with your life until we see and feel your peace. We thank you, God, for loving us so much and freeing us. Amen. You're welcome.